Welcome to the Cops Alive Audio Bulletin. I'm your host, John Marks, and today's guest is Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Hart, the Assistant Chief of Police from the Morgan Field, Kentucky Police Department here in the United States.
Invite me. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Can you share with everyone just a little bit about you, about your background, how you got involved in law enforcement, et cetera?
Well, I consider myself a second-generation police officer. My older brother was a police officer, and he raised me. So I got into policing in 1981 when I joined the Army as an MP. And then after separating from the military, I joined the Henderson County Sheriff's Office. I worked there for 2 years, and then my sheriff lost the election. And in Kentucky, that's an unfortunate fact of life. Usually the administration goes with the sheriff, so I was laid off by the incoming sheriff. And I came to Morgan Field PD in 1986, and I've been here ever since. So I've got a little over 22 and a half with the city here, and about 27 and a half total in law enforcement.
Wow. tell us a little bit about what has happened to you, how we connected, and maybe some of the experiences you've been through.
Well, when I came to work for the city of Morgan Field, I weighed 200 pounds, 5'8". I hadn't been out of the military but about 2 years, in pretty good physical condition. I went to the academy in 86, of course, there was a significant PT program in the academy, but like most of us, I didn't keep up with it after I got out of the academy, and my agency doesn't require it. There's no physical fitness standard for our department, and I let myself go. And in March of 2005, I had reached a height of about 260 pounds, and while responding to a robbery alarm here in the city, after I finished the call, I noticed that I had some pain in my right arm and in my jaw, which, of course, being certified in CPR and first aid, I recognized as the possibility that I was having a heart problem. I was treated at the local ER. They didn't find anything, but the ER physician just happened to be my family physician, and he was concerned. He had given me a shot of nitro when I arrived in the ER, and he told me, he said, if that gives you a headache, we probably don't have a problem. And then 10, 15 minutes into the treatment, he said, well, have you got a headache? And I said, well, I got about half a headache. He said, then you've got about a half a problem. So he sent me to a local cardiologist who ultimately imaged my heart and discovered that I have basically a minor birth defect in my heart on the back side of my heart. The main blood vessel that feeds the bottom third of the heart crosses the crease in my heart muscle, and I had so much weight on me that my heart was working so hard that it was squeezing that closed, and they call it a squeeze off. And just about 8 days later, April 8th, they went in to do a heart cath, and of course, while he was there, the cardiologist said, look, here's the problem. You have the squeeze off. You know, the simple and easy fix at this point is a stent. And so they did put a stent in my heart, which ultimately solved the problem. I did drop about 20 pounds, but I didn't realize that the medications that they prescribed me that I would have to live with the rest of my life, and that there would be side effects from those medications that ultimately came to ruin my personal life. Ultimately, my wife and I got divorced, and I went back to the doctor, and I said, look, you know, this has got to stop. What is it I can do? And the doctor said, you have to lose another 40 pounds. It's just that simple. I'm not going to discuss you coming off of any of these meds until you do that. So over the last year, I've actually dropped a total of 70 pounds. I started out walking about 2.5 miles a day. After a couple of months of that, I couldn't reach my target heart rate anymore. So now what I do is I ride a bicycle, and I ride about 40 miles a week, maybe 50 on a good week. Of course, I maintain an excellent watch on my diet. I try to stay right at 2,000 calories a day, pretty protein heavy, try to do 100 grams of protein a day. And as a result, not only have I lost that 70 pounds, but I'm in probably the best physical shape of my life. I do a little strength training about twice a week. I try to go to the gym. I don't try to do a lot of bulk muscle enhancement, just toning and maintaining the mass that I have. And I feel better now than I have since I was in the military at 19. And I've been able to get away from 3 out of the 5 heart meds that they had me on. The doctor has told me that I no longer have to take those. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, we're currently negotiating for one of the two remaining medications, which is a Lipitor, because my cholesterol, I've been able to bring my cholesterol up from 27 to 37 on my good cholesterol. That's mm-hmm. That's his main concern. My bad cholesterol, overall bad cholesterol, has never been above 137. So
wow.
If I can bring that good cholesterol up three more points, go back in September, I may be able to get away from the Lipitor and just have to remain on the one baby aspirin that I have to take.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what are they having you do to try to raise your... I think it's HDL that's the good
right. cholesterol. Right. Well, I started out when I went on the diet, of course, cutting down on the greasy foods, of course, and mm-hmm. I removed salt or the majority of salt from my diet, and then increase in fiber, and then initially we just tried that, and I came up to about 31. Well, then we started with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3 a day, mm-hmm. along with a number of other dietary supplements, just, you know, vitamin C, vitamin E, a complete multivitamin that's heavy in your disposable metals for dieting.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the 1,000 milligrams of omega-3 a day, I was able to raise my cholesterol 37. So now what we're doing at the moment, we're doing 2,000 milligrams a day of omega-3, still continuing the fiber, right? You know, instead of a strictly protein breakfast now, usually we'll include a high-fiber bagel along with some protein. We hope that that increase in the omega-3 along with the increase in fiber will give me that other 3 points.
Wow. It sounds like you've gotten a crash course in nutrition and physical fitness and good health here.
Well, yes, and you know, when I posted on the wellness forum, my whole point was is that, you know, we train the men and women who are coming out of the academy right now today. You know, we give them excellent physical fitness training. You know, I can remember when I went, it was only a 10-week program. Now it's 18 here in Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
and I remember my physical fitness trainers better than I do any of my classroom instructors. So I hoped with that posting that these new recruits would understand that even if their department does not require it, if they don't have a state-mandated PT training, you know, annually, they need to maintain their physical fitness. You know, I'm 46 years old and, you know, nearly died as a result of a very minor birth defect in the grand scheme of things. Had I never put on the weight, I would have never known about it, and it would never have caused me a problem. And had I known at the time that a simpler solution would merely have been diet and exercise, I would have never allowed the stent, you know, because now I've got to live with that stent, and I have to worry about the stent, you know, clogging up on me.
Mm.
So, you know, one of the drugs that they have me on is Plavix, and I'm going to have to take that Plavix forever. They're, you know, they're never going to discuss not taking the Plavix.
Is that a blood thinner that keeps the stent clear?
Right. Yeah, it's basically a thinner that's designed to keep the cells from clogging up is what it is. And, of course, it has some minor side effects. You cut yourself shaving, you bleed for an hour.
Yep.
You know?
And in our line of work, that could be a little bit of a hazard, too.
That's exactly right. You get if you know, God forbid you take a bullet strike to your vest, the internal bleeding could take you.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily the projectile getting into your body, just the bruising, you know, a bullet strike to a vest causes mm-hmm. tremendous bruising. And if you have, you know, anti-clotting agents in your system, you're going to bleed heavily internally. So that is a risk. And I've taken the precaution of notifying all my EMTs and my paramedics that I work with here. They all know that I take those just for that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would never have chosen the stent had I known the legacy that was going to come with it in the medication.
Wow.
And, you know, if I had never gained the weight, I would have never had the problem. So,
yeah. Well, I want to point out that one of the ways that we came in contact with each other is a young man in Colorado, a young police officer, died unexpectedly in very similar circumstances to yours. He was responding to a disturbance call. In fact, he was responding to back-to-back disturbance calls, and on the second one chose to run from one scene to the other and unfortunately suffered a massive heart. They didn't call it a heart attack, but it was the same issue that you had, an undiagnosed heart defect that he didn't know about. You know, he played football in high school, and this is a young man in his 30s with a wife and kids, on-duty police officer, died from that undiagnosed heart defect. And I don't know how prevalent that is, but it's just one more thing that points out a lot of the unseen risks in law enforcement. And it's kind of frightening. You know, you worry about the bad guys and their bullets and you train for that, but there's all kinds of things taking the lives of cops, and a lot of them have to do with our health.
That's exactly right. And this is the job that, you know, the stress is not how many calls you work. You know, I work in a community of 3,500. Mm-hmm. You know, we answer about 6,000 calls a year. You know, 80% of those, of course, are calls for service. And, you know, in the last 15 years, I've probably worked 5 homicides. You know, whereas you take an officer who works in, Dallas, may answer 30,000 calls in a given year. It's not how many calls you work. It's the stress waiting for that next call. You're under that stress the entire time, whether you work in Dallas, whether you work in Miami, or whether you work in Morganfield. And if you don't pay attention to your diet and your exercise, then that stress is going to catch up with you. I really believe that.
Well, I agree. And I think sometimes, especially young officers, you know, we expect trouble in the hot calls. We expect, you know, we get our adrenaline going on those emergency calls where your life is in danger, you have to draw your weapon. We are trained and prepared to deal with all the stresses that go along with armed conflict and maybe even hand-to-hand combat. But I think many of us overlook the kind of the hidden stressors that have to do with our diet. I mean, cops have one of the highest rates of cancer of any profession. And just some of the hidden stressors are the things that we don't expect to get us that we end up taking home, you know, the child that dies in your arms, or the automobile accident where, it was pure tragedy from start to finish. And it's those little things that sort of chip away. And I think cops are always waiting for the one big event that they have to deal with. And it may be all those little ones that add up over your career.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. My brother once told me years ago, and I've never been able to validate the statistic, that most police officers who retired 55 don't survive to see age 60. And that really came home to me, you know, at 43, mm-hmm. when I had that stint. And, you know, that's when I said, you know, that's probably not that inaccurate. You know, that's probably a pretty realistic statistic. And it's because of the stress and the lifestyle. One of the worst things that I can do is to stop at McDonald's and have a double cheeseburger and a large fry and a big drink, and then go, you know, in the car, eating in the car, going to the next call. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, you just need to make good choices about your diet, you make good choices about your exercise, and then your overall health is better, and therefore you're more physically capable of dealing with the physical issues and I think the mental issues, because when you feel better about yourself, you have a better outlook on life, you have a better outlook on, you know, I still to this day enjoy coming to work every day. But I think I enjoy it today more than I did 15 years ago.
Wow.
You know, because I feel better about myself, I feel better about coming to work, and I feel more confident in my abilities to do the job. So I think it all ties together. Well, I think all of it ties together.
And congratulations to you. I mean, it's just an outstanding success story, and I'd rather talk to people about your story than, unfortunately, about the story of the young man that died in Colorado.
Yes, that was quite tragic.
I get the impression you've probably shared this with a lot of officers. What is it that you most want people to hear about caring for their health, about what you learned the hard way? Are there some tips that you pass on?
Well, just do something physical fitness wise every day. It doesn't have to be a tremendous amount, you know, a 20-minute walk every day. And that's what I try to do. I try to do something every day. Mm-hmm. If I don't ride the bike, you know, 5-10 miles, then I will at least take a 2.5-mile walk. With my fiance, we'll do a 2.5-mile walk. I pay attention to what I eat every day. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily get crazy about it. You know, I went out last night to Applebee's and had a real nice meal. Mm-hmm. And, I just have to understand that today or tomorrow I need to get out there and do something to maintain my weight and maintain my physical fitness. And, you know, if you give it 15 or 20 minutes a day, every day, realistically, you're not going to put on that, you know, 56, 58 pounds that I did over a 20-year career that comes back to haunt you. Mm-hmm. And I never realized that at the time, you know, that putting on a pound here and a pound there, you know, over a 22-year, 23-year period would be so life-threatening. But it sure was in my case, and obviously, as you said, we've lost an officer in Colorado from a nearly identical situation, so it does happen, and, you know, there's no way to know you have it until it comes up. Yeah. So, you know, if you've got a good PT regimen coming out of the academy, they really need to keep with it. You know, you don't have to be crazy about it. You don't have to, you know, be like me. I have a tendency to get on that bike and ride an hour a day when I've got the time, mm-hmm. simply because I enjoy it. But, yeah. You know, if you get your 20 minutes in of good cardio, you know, maintain your overall physical fitness with a little weight training, it's going to help you in the long run. You're not going to be having, you know, health issues 20 years into your career. You know, most officers nowadays, especially the new guys that are coming in, you know, are looking at a 20, 25-year career, and then they're planning on moving to something else. Of course, most of the retirement boards that are out there are currently analyzing the 20-year retirement, mm-hmm. looking to enhance that to a 27-year retirement, mm-hmm. because the financial return that they're getting currently isn't sufficient.
Yep.
So you got to plan on, you know, 25 to 27 years right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I only had right at 27 total, only 22 and a half of this department. So I really, really don't want to retire, didn't want to retire, and now that I've managed to get back into good shape and maintain myself, I'd love to work another 10,
yeah.
because I think I could physically do it without any concerns about being able to do the job. You know, there was an occasion, here I'm a working supervisor, so I'm day shift today, I'm the only guy out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I get that family fight in progress in 20 minutes or 30 minutes, I don't have any concerns about me going there and being able to physically handle the situation. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, at 258 pounds, 260 pounds, I don't know that I would have been safe to do that, but I think I am right now. So I think it's important that you maintain your physical fitness, not only for yourself, not only for your department, but for your family and for your long-term health.
Yeah. Pretty powerful words. you know, I have been there, and I think everybody thinks, oh, yeah, I'll get around to PT. I'll take care of this later. And I think the one other thing I'd like you to talk a little bit more about is diet and nutrition is, you know, we always let that slip. It's like, oh, next time I'll eat better. Next time I'll do this. Could you share just a little bit more about that decision about whether you drive through McDonald's or not? Have you changed your life?
Still have to. You know, when I was on patrol 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I'd eat McDonald's 2-3 times a day,
yeah.
simply because, you know, you get up, you're running late, you come to work, you grab something from McDonald's, 4 hours into your shift, you grab something from McDonald's, you know, on your way home, you stop at another fast food restaurant or whatever. And now I think it just comes down to I make good decisions about it. If I go to McDonald's, you know, I will skip a fry, mm-hmm. and eat a yogurt parfait, mm-hmm. for my side. I will get a chicken sandwich, and then... or a chicken wrap. That's right now is currently my preference. If I'm going to McDonald's, I get one of the chicken wraps.
Mm-hmm.
It's low carbs, high protein. You know, I make small decisions like don't add cheese. You know, extra 50 calories. You know, for a slice of cheese. So and I just pay attention to it that way.
Yeah.
I try to eat at home for breakfast now, mainly because you know, the meds that I take right now, all my dietary supplements and the Plavix and the Lipitor that I have to take, I need to take on a full stomach. So I get up a little earlier now. I make my breakfast at home, you know, oatmeal and a bagel or a ham and cheese omelet with a bagel. You know, I get my proteins, I get my fiber,
mm-hmm.
then I take my meds. I come to work. I make a good decision about lunch, you know, try to limit my three main meals to no more than 500 calories a piece. And then I usually will have a couple of snacks during the course of the day, high protein, preferably low carb. And then that way I get my 2,000 calories for the day. If for some reason I have a big dinner scheduled, you know, if I'm going out with a wife or going to an event, then I'll trim back a little bit for lunch, maybe hold one of my snacks because I know I'm going to eat, a 600 or 800 calorie dinner. Mm-hmm. And so therefore I still try to keep around my 2000 calories. If I hit 2200, it's not a real bad day. I still have my PT to help balance that out. Mm-hmm. So it all works out.
Well, and I have to say the one thing I notice is that you're actually paying attention. You're counting calories. You're paying attention to the protein carbohydrate mix. You're doing a lot of things that I think many of us ignored when we were younger. Talking about McDonald's, I'm still afraid to watch that movie. I think it's called Super Size Me because, I had a lot of those McDonald's meals too. And I guess I'm still in denial. I don't want to hear how bad it is, but I think that's the point. We have to wake up.
Right. And again, it's just about being aware, yeah. McDonald's will post, or McDonald's does post the nutritional information from every sandwich they have.
Yeah.
So you do a double cheeseburger, it's 480 calories. Or you can do a McChicken with no cheese, and it's 370. Mm-hmm. It's just about making a wise choice.
Yep. Yeah, and obviously you're paying attention, and so many of us aren't. And, I don't mean to be picking on McDonald's. There are plenty of restaurants out there that, offer high-calorie foods.
Oh, absolutely.
They all post their information. Right. It's just none of us pay attention.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, I'm like you. I'm not necessarily trying to pick on McDonald's. I think they are doing an excellent job at least posting their nutritional information so that you can make a wise choice.
Yeah.
But I will quite often go to a restaurant and eat, just a chicken wrap. I've got one place here in town where I'll just go and get a grilled chicken on a plate with a side salad. Basically a dieter special. Mm-hmm. It gives me, 400 calories and, about 15 grams of protein, and mm-hmm. and it does an excellent job for me. So I'm like you. I'm not necessarily picking it on McDonald's. I just think you got to be aware. You gotta pay attention. I never had an idea how many calories I was really eating in a given day until I started to pay attention.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily that hard to cut back once I understood where I was at in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little trick that I did when I first started this. Those little small composition notebooks they sell at department stores.
Yeah.
I would literally track how much coffee I would drink in a given day, how much pop I would drink in a given day, how many meals and what the calories were. And then that's what trained me to know, well, I can eat this, I can't eat that. I cut diet pop almost completely out of my repertoire, or more to the point, any diet pop that wasn't diet right, because that reduced the amount of sodium I was getting in a given day. Mm-hmm. I drink a lot of water now. I drink a lot of coffee black. When I'm riding the bike, I drink nothing but water.
Mm-hmm.
So with that little composition notebook, I would track how much exercise I did in a given day, how much strength training, how much aerobic, how much fluids, and how many carbs, and how many calories. And once I had an understanding of where I was at, what I was doing, then it wasn't hard to start making good choices. But you got to understand where you're at first before you can move forward. Or at least that's how it worked for me.
Yep. Well, and I have to add to that, one of the whole purposes of starting copsalive.com was to help police officers plan for successful, happy, and healthy careers and their lives beyond the job. And, we could be talking about financial planning just as easily. It's a matter of, paying attention to what you have, paying attention to what you're doing. I think so many of us, that there's still checks in the checkbook at the end of the month, so we must have plenty of money. And I think, a lot of cops overuse and abuse credit because they're not paying attention to their finances. And it's the same thing for your health. If you're not paying attention to those calories and the composition of what you're eating, it can get out of control.
That's true.
Would you mind talking for just a second a little bit about, I think a lot of cops take vitamins and nutritional supplements, or they're on some fancy diet that they read about somewhere. Can you share just a little bit about what your experiences are?
Well,
what you're taking?
What I found when I went back to the doctor and I said, we're going to have to do something, they said, well, that's fine. You need to lose the weight, no more than 2,000 calories a day. you need to, of course, continue to take your meds. And then I came back here and spoke with several other officers in the county who I considered good role models, who were in excellent physical shape, you know, and I spoke with them and I said, well, what is it you're doing? What is it you're doing? What is it you're doing? And I was able to glean from them, you know, that, you know, if you're on a diet, you know, it has to be fairly well balanced. If you're doing a lot of strength training and a lot of aerobic training, you got to make sure you've got enough protein in your diet. You know, it's going to have to be protein heavy. Mm-hmm. If you're burning muscle all the time, using your muscles all the time, you got to replace that. So, and then one of the things that was key was you need to take a multivitamin that is for being on a diet, because you're going to have a tendency to burn up your consumable metals that your body has to have. And your dietary, your multivitamins that are designed for diets have a tendency to replace that. Mm. So, and then, of course, you know, I take the usual standards. You know, I take a C vitamin, 500 milligram a day. I take a 400 IU of E. I take the standard multivitamin. I take 2,000 milligrams of omega-3 a day. And then, of course, I take my Plavix and my baby aspirin. Mm-hmm. And right now, you know, 10 milligram Liptor, half of a 20. So in the grand scheme of things, every morning I take 7 pills with my breakfast. And that has a tendency to keep me well-balanced, keep me in good health. I've got a secondary issue. I've been diagnosed with dry MAC. So that's why I take the 400 milligrams of E, is to help my eyes, or not that I don't really have a problem with it right now, but you know, in 20 years I'm going to have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. So one of the things the doctor said, you know, if you can take vitamin E, you should do so. So I take that. But as my big thing was the complete multivitamin that is specifically designed for the diet program. That seems to have, I haven't had any problems with any of the deficiencies. That seems to keep me well balanced, along with the diet that I'm on. So, it's really not I wouldn't call it a fad diet. I just try to pay attention and make sure that I get enough protein, make sure I get enough fiber in my diet, and I make sure I try to stay around 2,000 calories. So, you know, some of these diets that I've seen work, like the Atkins diet. You know, I've seen several officers that have done the Atkins diet, and they've lost a tremendous amount of weight. But what I have also seen is that it doesn't stay off very long,
right,
with the fat diets. Even with them maintaining, you know, a pretty decent physical fitness program, you know, they go on the Atkins, they stay on it 2-3 weeks, and then they have a tendency to let it go, and the weight starts coming back.
Yeah.
Because it's not a day-to-day thing.
Right.
And I have been able to maintain the weight I'm at right now for almost a year. I've been at this weight for almost a year. I went to the doctor August 22nd. That's when I said, I have to, you know, I have to do this. And she said, okay, this is what we got to do. And when I went back to the doctor in November, you know, I was at 192. I'm at 192 today. So I've held this weight now for 7 full months, almost 8, and I've been able to maintain it every day, plus or minus a pound here and pound there. Just by paying attention to what I eat and trying to do my PT, you know, if I try to do something every day or at least 4 times a week. So if they pay attention, I really and you know, watch what they're eating, just a standard multivitamin off the shelf that's specific to their diet program, mm-hmm, will do them a fine job, I believe.
You're a tremendous role model, and I appreciate you sharing all these thoughts with us. You know, you're a very experienced officer with 27 plus years, and actually more if I guess we count the military in there too. Are there any other tips that you'd like to share with cops in general? I think all of us that are a little further down the road than some brand new officers, I think we have an obligation to share what we know and can help them. And I'm just curious if there's any other bits of information you'd like to share with young officers.
Well, not only do the young officers coming out of the academy, men and women that are brand new to this business, they need to try to maintain their PT. But just like your website says, we need to look forward to the end of the career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I would have loved to have done 27 years ago was engaged in my state's deferred comp retirement program. You know, I didn't begin that until 3.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And had I done that back 22 years ago, I literally could have retired when they said, you know, you have a heart problem. Yeah. I don't know that that's what I would have done, but I would have had that as an option. But I, at the time, I only had 19 in, and you have to have 20 in our system. Mm-hmm. So now I have the time, but I don't have the desire. You know, I'm in the best physical shape of my life, and I can do the job.
Yeah,
but when
choice.
They come out of that academy, you know, if they maintain, you know, if they look to their PT not as a chore but as something that's going to help them 20 years down the road, and look at their retirement system too. I think we all, when we're brand new coming out of the academy, we look at that retirement and we go, oh, yeah, I'll give that some thought in 10 years, or I'll give that some thought in 15 years. But, you know, give it some thought when you, the day you come out of the academy, mm-hmm. dedicate some funds to it, and it will come back to help you so much more when the time comes that you might be faced with a medical retirement or, you know, God forbid, you know, a line of duty injury that puts you out of the job. Right. You know, if your financial well-being and your health need to be on the same track. You need to give them both the same thought.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I didn't pay any attention to until about 3.5 years ago. I mean, I have my base retirement, but realistically, if I'd have participated in my deferred comp program the entire time, I would have had much more financial options.
Yeah.
So,
well, we all train to avoid getting killed. We don't think so much about getting disabled or injured on the job and not being able to work. And that's, I think that's the real scary prospect that some officers have to face, unfortunately. Thank you, Jeff. I'd like to thank our guest today. He is the Assistant Chief of Police at the Morganfield, Kentucky Police Department. He's Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Hart. And you're listening to the audio bulletin from copsalive.com. I'm John Marks, and I thank you very much for listening. And thanks again, Jeff.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.